10 minutes after 2 Central African time, and we're about to get into our first conversation of the show, speaking all things harassment in the workplace. A tough one to navigate, I have no doubt, but our expert will be telling us more about that one. Have you ever been harassed in the workplace, Mo?
No.
Not?
No.
Have you? You have like bullies?
No, I've never been bullied and stuff like that.
You were the... Usually people haven't been
bullied. No, for me, no. I was not the bully. Were you bullied?
Yeah, I think in my formative, you learn as you go, right? I think when you go into the working world, you are so naive.
Okay.
And you don't pick up on the subtleties of how people try to throw their weight around and to essentially the weakest person in the environment.
Yes.
And the weakest person will either be the newbie, it will be... the woman, or I don't know, whoever's most vulnerable in that environment. So,
and I actually want to find out from Yvonne, who we'll be chatting to.
Yeah.
When do you tell that actually I'm being bullied?
I'm being bullied. Yeah. Where you like, okay, this, it's not in this person's personality.
Yes.
It's not that they speak harshly. They actually are.
And
a
how
bully.
Do you pick it up? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are definitely going to be speaking about harassment, you know, and especially when it goes unaddressed as well.
Mm.
Can it lead to a culture of silence and complicity? Because oftentimes people who are trying to prove that they have been harassed will be told that they were complicit because they kept quiet or they went along with it
yeah.
you know, just to make it a not warm working
attention.
Right. So it is a difficult terrain there, and we are going to be speaking to Yvonne Mfeka, who is a director in employment law.
Yvonne, are you
good
there?
Good afternoon.
Are you well?
I'm well, and how are you?
Fantastic. Perhaps let's start really at the lowest level. What is harassment?
You know, it's actually such a great place to start, because even when you train with clients, it's amazing how much people don't know. I mean, as I came in, the commentary that was being made was, sometimes you just actually don't know if this is actually bullying or harassment. So the Code of Good Practice on Prevention and Elimination of Harassment in the Workplace that came in 2022 define harassment as follows. It says harassment is generally understood to be an unwanted or unwelcome conduct which impairs dignity, which creates a hostile or intimidating work environment for one or more employees, or is calculated to or has the effect of inducing submission by actual or threatened adverse consequences, and is related to one or more grounds in respect of which discrimination is prohibited in terms of subsection 1 of the Employment Equity Act. It also says harassment includes violence, physical abuse, psychological abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, gender-based abuse, and racial abuse. It includes the use of physical force or power, whether threatened or actual, against another person or against a group or a community. So the definition is actually quite wide, and we also see that there's also an element of abuse of power. So someone may just come in and make a comment without raising their voice, but because they're also in a position of power, then they can actually create an environment where you actually feel that you are being harassed, and that particular conduct impacts on your dignity.
All right. Yvonne Becker, Director in Employment Law. We're going to take a quick break and continue this very, very interesting conversation.
Right.
22 minutes after 2 Central African Time, still in conversation with Director in Employment Law, Yvonne Mfeka, and we are talking all things harassment in the workplace. Yvonne, you spoke, you described what harassment in the workplace is so well, but I found myself just thinking, ooh, what a difficult thing, because it is also so broad, right? There are different types of harassment, and one would really need to be au fait with how they present all these different types of harassment in order to pick it up. Mm. How does one firstly identify the type of harassment and how it presents?
So I think that in the definition, when we look at the code, and I'm looking really at this from a legal perspective, the code itself actually gives quite a number of examples of what this would look like. But more than that, because remember, codes sit in books somewhere. It's a legal document. It's a piece of act that has this code. Where it becomes critical is how these are translated into policies that actually are simple enough for the people who may be encountering this or harassment are able to understand. And not only just translating these codes into policies, but also run campaigns where everyone in the organization is actually reached so that they understand. I have seen in clients when these training sessions or awareness campaigns are being run, people's eyes get sort of lit up. So it's actually that. It's because in any organization, a culture gets built over time. And we know the very rudimentary definition of culture is how we do things here. I've had people saying, you know what, you mustn't be found with this person. This person to touch you. So there's people just gather around.
Right. It just starts, it's like a kind of insidious rumor that starts. Absolutely. And it becomes so entrenched in the ethos of, yeah, of the workplace. Yeah.
100%. And no one calls it out because it's like this person, they're known to be doing these things, right? And the day when you actually train employees to say, but that's harassment, their eyes are like, okay, so I have been harassed for the past 6 years. And I mean, at that very point, the person is thinking, I have been violated for this long, right? And anger just kicks in. And can you imagine now that there's so many people. So the important thing is that more than just the code, you have to be able to translate the code into more understandable policies that everyone can actually relate and ask the right questions. Because sometimes even in the policy, someone may just come back to you and say, okay, but what does it mean? This is physical? Or this is not physical, so can it be verbal? Can it be a gesture, right? You must be able to say, actually, yes, it is.
Okay, so it's interesting that you've mentioned some of those things and people only realize after a while, John has been harassing me for so long. And you know, when a woman is raped, they've advised that you go to the police station and then you do get a rape kit. What is the best and the first thing that one should do if they feel like they have been harassed in some of those things?
Yeah. So, I mean, we do have quite mature organizations where it's actually defined on how you go about it, but you also have those that aren't as advanced. So you need to go to your human capital business partner, whom we used to call HR, right? Because those are supposedly the people that are neutral and are impartial and are supposed to receive you and hear you out and then be able to support you and direct your complaint accordingly. We also have now companies that allow people to actually report anonymously and with enough detail to start the conversation and to get to the bottom of what is actually happening. And we also have companies that have employee well-being service providers like your iCares, where the conversation starts as a support, and then once a person is ready and is strong enough, because sometimes the harassment is just so, it has messed you up psychologically, that actually don't know, you start second guessing yourself. So then it starts there, and then once you are ready and strong enough, then you can just then escalate it and report it. And in other instances, it actually, you must go to the person that you trust in the organization. That's how it starts. Because then you're going to start hearing yourself saying, I think I'm being harassed. And then someone's going to say, but what do you mean? And then as you relay the story, then you realize, actually, it is. When you sit with it, sometimes you just never get to it. Or if you're scared, you just never get to report it. And we know anecdotally that harassment cases actually are underreported.
Mm. Yeah, they're definitely underreported. And then emails. Any form of email in terms of harassment. If someone feels that, my boss was out of line by saying this on an email, does that also justify it for you to be going to...
100%. Remember
it doesn't really need to be, what I'm trying to say, it doesn't really need to be, you don't need to be touched, to be harassed.
Because that's just sexual harassment, right? Harassment is broader. Right, bullying is someone who can be passive aggressive in an email or give an instruction, and they know that this is who you are, and they start an email with something that they know is inappropriate and give an instruction, and whereas they're just offending. So it does not necessarily, the definition as I read it, it's not just sexual, it's broader than that, and it can be on email. And it can also be an emoji. It can also be a GIF.
Really, Yvonne?
An emoji?
My goodness.
I almost thought you said it can also be emoji.
Emoji.
No. I wouldn't go there.
So that is interesting. Yeah. Just the nuances of what... Okay, and offense would be a big thing here, but I want us to delve deeper into that, Yvonne, when we come back from our business news. We are heading over there now. If you could just hang on the line, it is 30 minutes after 2 Central African time. Here on Channel Africa, and we are speaking harassment in the workplace with our guest, Yvonne Mkefa. And it is 35 minutes after 2 Central African time. Mo, you had a question around you. Was Yvonne still talking about emails and emojis?
Yes, and emojis. If you can elaborate more on that and what we should look out for.
Yeah, maybe if we just go back to the code. So the code is quite illustrative on what harassment looks like. So it refers to physical harassment, as we talked about. It could be sexual, but it could also be violence. Actual violence, someone threatening you with violence, or gestures. If someone holds up a fist, that is seen as harassment. There's also verbal harassment, like your bullying, mobbing, shaming. There's also psychological harassment in the workplace, where people get also demoted for without any justification. Also being withheld of benefits, and anything that actually will have psychological consequences against the employee. So the definition is wide. And what I also appreciate about this code is that it also gives people or employees the actual example about.
That's important.
And when I look at this code compared to its predecessor, I think the legislature was quite intentional about clarity, so that we can really prevent and eliminate harassment in the workplace.
Mm. And so, Yvonne, let's talk about proving, for the victim, especially if you don't know the code, you haven't gone through it, and many employees, I would imagine, I'm hearing about it for the first time now, and I love that it is so elaborative and gives examples. But if you're sitting there and you're thinking, am I imagining things? Mm. There's probably part of this person's personality, and I'm new here.
It's different for me when it's like a rape. Because then you can do the rape kit thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How do you prove this one?
Yeah. So, I mean, do you, even in your kind of self-questioning and self-doubt, start making a record of incidents, or do you tell a person? What is the proper way of going about it?
Yes. So the doubt, often we're actually not sure, right?
Mm.
But when you start, because remember, it's the definition says unwelcome conduct, right? So it starts with I'm actually not. I don't like how this
sure.
is happening. I don't appreciate how this person speaks to me, and record keeping becomes then critical. Because and I think you need to know upfront that it is your journal that you are recording these incidents. And sometimes it's also later on. But as soon as you realize that actually this what's happening now, I'm not comfortable with. Keep the record, even if you go to a friend or a colleague that you trust, they're gonna ask you. So, what happened, right? And I've also seen as well that people also get impacted psychologically. Sometimes they just forget the detail, because ultimately when you do complain, you would need that detail. In some instances, complainants aren't as clear. And the organization patiently works with them to get as much information as possible and give them the support, because it does then sometimes impact the person's performance. Not always, but sometimes. So record keeping becomes critical, especially when you realize that I don't appreciate. I don't like this. It makes me feel uncomfortable. You need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you always have to go to HR? I mean, obviously, if you've got enough evidence, especially if it's sexual harassment, you can just go straight to the police, right?
Yeah. So there are a couple of other legislation that are at hand. So the Employment Equity Act deals with the in the workplace, but there's also Prevention of Harassment Act, which then you can go to the police and get an interdict. And I've seen companies that while they are investigating, when the employee wants to do that, they can't really, the organization can't stop you from doing it. So they would then simultaneously or in parallel go to the police and get the interdict, because that particular act allows you to do that.
And what if you don't trust? I mean, earlier on, Yvonne, you spoke about speak to a person that you trust within the organization, whether it be human capital and the like. What if you fundamentally just don't trust the people that you work with because you know that there's a culture of protecting people? You made the example of, people who didn't realize that they're being sexually harassed because it's just part of the culture. And sometimes you hear of managers protecting each other and the like. What do you do then? Do you just get a private lawyer?
I've seen that happening where you get someone external to actually write that first letter to say this has been happening for over this period. What cannot start the investigation from unfolding, or the investigation will not start until there is a complaint. So if you do get someone external to assist you to lodge the complaint, that will be accepted. But they may not, or organization may not allow your lawyer to be part of that process, because then the human capital department. Or we've now seen people of organization have champions who also support or drive the awareness coming in and supporting. But that process becomes an internal. It is very rare that during the investigation process that an external party will be allowed in this process, because organizations also they trust their processes. And they also want the policies to be adhered to, the same, because the law also requires them to do that.
Okay.
But nothing prevents you from asking someone to, at the very least, to bring this to the attention of the organization, and then it becomes an internal process as it unfolds.
Sure. All right.
Where do we read more?
So, I mean, there are codes of good practice, are readily available on SAFI, which is a website with the case authorities and Act. And I think in our website as well, from our law firm, CDH, we also actually have articles on this particular code of good practice.
You've been absolutely amazing, and thank you so much for sharing some of this with us in terms of dealing with harassment in the workplace. That is Yvonne
Mkefa,
who is the director in employment law. Thank you so much for chatting
thank
to us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you don't mind, we will always just harass you and give you a call when we need more info.
Oh, my word. In inverted commas, harass.
Yes.
Sure.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cool.
All right. That-